This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه والتابعين سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. I praise Allah Almighty and I send prayers and blessings upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his noble family, righteous companions, and all those who follow him for our guidance until the day of judgment. Ameen. Glory be to you, O Allah, no matter how much have we accept that which you have taught us. Indeed, you are the all-knowing, the all-wise. My dear brothers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We continue today, inshallah, with the story of Adam and the angels as in the tafsir of Surah Al-Baqarah. And last time, we were talking about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Adam alayhi salam all the names, al-asma'a kullaha, and then he presented them to the angels and said to them, tell me about the names of these if you are indeed truthful. And the angels immediately submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and attributed all knowledge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something that scholars and sheikhs like to do before they start their talks. We say the same thing the angels say. Subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana. We have no knowledge except that which you have taught us. You are the all-knowing, the all-wise. So they use these two names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are the all-knowing, so all knowledge is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why he is the omniscient. He has all knowledge of all things. And he is al-hakim. He is the all-wise. Because all that knowledge means a lot of power. And if there's no wisdom, then that could be power that has gone awry. But never is that the case with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's all knowledgeable and he's all wise. All wisdom is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that knowledge is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does what he pleases, and what he does in the best and wisest way. So everything, all of the actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we describe and we attribute to his all encompassing and infinite wisdom. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. Now the continuation of this, what seems to be something like a competition now between the angels and Adam alayhi salam. So now he tells Adam alayhi salam, tell them. قَالَ يَا آدَمُ بَعْدَ عَوْضُ اللَّهِ شَرْفَ الرَّجِيمُ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمُ قَالَ يَا آدَمُ أَنْبِئْهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ فلما أنبأهم بأسمائهم قال ألم أقل لكم إني أعلم غيب السماوات والأرض وأعلم ما تبدون وما كنتم تكتمون.
So he says to Adam عليه السلام, tell them the names. The names that they didn't know, the names that they were not able to say. You have to picture it. This is a situation where they are being shown, in one of the opinions, they are being presented with pictures of these things that they have not, maybe they haven't seen before, things on the earth, right? That Adam alayhi salam knew about. They have no idea. But now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to prove to them, look, Adam alayhi salam, look at the knowledge that he has. So he tells Adam to tell the angels instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealing it himself. So he tells Adam, tell them about the names. These names that they didn't know about. قَالَ يَا آدَمُ أَنْبِئْهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ فَلَمَّا أَنْبَأَهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ قَالَ أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكُمْ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ غَيْبَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. So what did Adam alayhi salam at this point do? Every time something was presented, granted, Adam alayhi salam would name it. Or a person was presented, the Adam alayhi salam would name him. So, in this fashion, Adam alayhi salam named all things. And the angels understood that this is a being that is more knowledgeable than them and more deserving of the khilafa than them. Immediately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them, أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكُمْ, have I not said to you, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ غَيْبَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, I know the ghaib, the unseen, of the heavens and the earth. When you hear this ayah, you think to yourself, subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew everything that was going to happen from the time of Adam alayhi salam up until our time, all the way until the day of judgment. And if this did not happen, what would have happened? So all of the different paths and the possibilities, you chose to come here today, alhamdulillah. If you chose otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what would have happened had you chosen something else. Have you decided something else? All of this comes under ghaib as-samawati wal-ard, the unseen. All of this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, and He's telling the angels, this simple thing you did not even know how to do, which is the names of these things in front of you. These are things I presented to you in front of you. You did not know about it. And you are talking about yufsidu fil ard, that He is going to spread corruption in the earth, and He is going to commit and shed blood and do all of these things. This simple thing you were not able to know about, much less to know about all of the wisdom for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created humanity and put them on the earth as a khalifa. أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكُمْ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ غَيْبَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. It seems, wallahu a'lam, here Allah is telling them, this is something simple, and what you don't know is much more, for which I have created him and I am going to place him on the earth. أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكُمْ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ غَيْبَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Furthermore, who knows al-ghayb, my dear brothers? Does anyone on earth know al-ghayb? What if they are very, very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Al-Anbiya, the messengers, the closest to Allah, did they know al-ghayb? What about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the most beloved to Allah? Does he know the ghayb? Only if he was told by Jibreel alayhi salam, the Prophet alayhi salam, we love him to death, but he doesn't know al-ghayb. Don't think you are raising the Prophet on his pedestal by saying he knows al-ghayb, a'udhu billah. Or someone writing, or maybe even seeing on television certain Islamic programs showing human beings, feeble human beings, knowing everything that is going to happen. No one knows any of this, not even the prophets. La muqarrab, la wali, la nabi, nothing. No prophets, no angels, no one knows al-ghayb, the unseen, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Much less those who are far from Allah, like the soothsayers or the magicians, God forbid, or whatever it is. No one knows al-ghayb except Allah. As he says in many other ayat. And the Prophet the Quran tells us that the Prophet says that he doesn't know al-ghayb. Otherwise he would have avoided misfortune. Didn't misfortune befall the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? If he knew the ghaib, he would have avoided it. Only Allah knows the ghaib. أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكُمْ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ غَيْبَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Unless Allah told him through Jibreel alayhi salam, Okay? وَأَعْلَمُ مَا تُبْدُونَ وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ. And I know what you reveal and what you conceal. Many ayahs tell us how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is revealed and what is concealed. You may say to yourself, He knows what is revealed, meaning that which is apparent, but so do I. If I hear you speaking, then I know, then I understand. Is that what is meant here? Of course not. Besides, someone is speaking outside now. It is not ghaib. Is that ghaib? No. It is being witnessed. Someone is hearing them. Tell me, what are they saying? You cannot even hear what's being said outside, much less what's being said in another city or another country or in the universe or in the heavens. This is part of the scene. You don't know it. Allah knows it. But He knows also that which is unseen. That which you and I cannot see. That which has been hidden from humanity. وَأَعْلَمُ مَا تُبْدُونَ وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ. Furthermore, here the scholar said, أَعْلَمُ مَا تُبْدُونَ means that I know what you have revealed. What did the angels reveal? In the very beginning, what they said. Right? Possibly what they mentioned about the corruption. Right? أَتَجْعَلْ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءِ. Allah knows this. This is what they revealed. So what did they conceal? What did they conceal? Is there something they concealed? You can piece it together from some of the previous lessons that we had. One possibility, and this was one opinion by Ibn Abbas and Mujahid and others, that it is the fact that Iblis was concealing the fact that he is not going to obey. He is going to disobey. And he is concealing kufr in his heart. Okay? This is one opinion. But then you say, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to all of the angels. Yes, He's talking to all of the angels, and Iblis was with them. And this one act of insubordination was going to become the focus of this story of Adam and the angels. The other opinion, also given by some of the Mufassirin from the Tabi'in and those who came after that, is that this is the fact that the angels themselves said, when Allah told them that He is going to create a Khalifa, that they said, no matter what, you will never find someone better and more knowledgeable than us. The angels were talking about themselves. And this seems in line with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala challenging them through the issue of knowledge. You are so knowledgeable? Show me. Tell me the names of these things. Simple challenge. This is the other possibility. وَأَعْلَمُ مَا تُبْدُونَ وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ. This is the concluding ayah of that section. That whole section, from the time where He said, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً, and then He taught Adam the names, and they said, we do not know, and then He told them, tell them of the names. Some people try to read into the story and the response. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now challenged them through knowledge, why? What is the wisdom behind it? What can we understand and what is the benefit from it? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is challenging them on the issue of knowledge. For one, when we talk about khilafa and the possibility of the angels requesting the khilafa themselves, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling them, number one, there needs to be knowledge, and clearly Adam is more knowledgeable than you. And clearly, wallahu a'lam, it seems Adam has a capacity for learning and language and knowledge that you do not have, and this is required for khilafah on earth. And they submitted to that. So that this is why he challenged them on the issue of knowledge. Furthermore, try to imagine a khilafah where the creation essentially obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and does not disobey. In that sense, they are perfect. لا يعصون الله ما أمره. They do not disobey. Imagine a khilafah. This is what they asked. We are glorifying you, O Allah. Why would you place it in that which corrupts? So now imagine the khilafah was amongst the angels. Where is the test? Where is the difficulty? Right? Everyone is worshipping. Everyone is obedient. Then what? This is like paradise on earth, right? That's what paradise is about. Even though it's not exactly worship in that sense, but that's what paradise is about. There is no test, there's no difficulty, there is no crime, there are no sins, no bloodshed, no corruption. But as we said before, just as this being was going to spread corruption, we have seen it, and shed so much blood, and we have seen it, the good that will come out of that is so much more. Otherwise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not have created, because He is the All-Wise. And He will always, He only commands that which is beneficial, and He only prohibits that which is harmful. Remember that every time the shaitan tries to play with your mind. Allah only commands that which is beneficial, only prohibits that which is harmful. And His decisions are full of wisdom. So if there is going to be a preponderant evil which is more than the good from the creation of human beings, then why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do it? There is so much good. There is bloodshed, there is difficulty, there are crimes and sins, there is corruption, there is so much good. There is so much remembrance of Allah, obedience of Allah, worship of Allah, dhikr of Allah. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is being mentioned all the time. Here on earth we see it. There's always somebody praying to Allah, remembering Allah, sending salutations upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, right? As we speak, everywhere, look, wherever it is. Mecca, does Mecca sleep? Mecca, Medina, for all practical purposes, don't sleep. There's always someone worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By choice. By choice. This is on earth. Then you go to the heavens. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ. Allah and His angels are sending salat on the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And they worship Allah day and night. There's so much good. There is so much love. There is so much compassion. There's so much sacrifice. There's a lot of good as well. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows this because He knows ghaib as-samawati wal-ard. So we see, we have these two conditions. And both present themselves in this story. For being a khalifa and for being accountable. There has to be knowledge. Because if there is no knowledge, the person will not be accountable. Why did Allah send the messengers? to tell you, to give you the knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, if a messenger did not come to you, what is the golden rule? The saying of Allah, وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا. Allah will not punish, it is not for Allah to punish until a messenger is sent. If someone, hypothetically, but it's very difficult to imagine now in this day and age, someone who has never heard of something called Islam or Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are they going to be held accountable on the Day of Judgment? No. They didn't come to know, there's no knowledge. So number one, knowledge. As we saw, وَعَلَمَ أَدَمَ الْإِسْلَامَ فُلَّهِ, the issue of knowledge. And the knowledgeable being. The other issue, choice. Choice. This is what Allah gave us, that free will to choose. The angels, no. They worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala day and night. Right? So they're a different creation and they do not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These two conditions. We see the knowledge. Where do we see the free will? In the disobedience that is going to happen very soon, when Iblis refuses to prostrate. And later on, when Adam alayhi salam eats from the forbidden tree. The knowledge and the choice. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then commands the angels to prostrate to Adam alayhi salam. And they all prostrate, except Iblis. Seemingly, now their prostration follows their realization that Adam alayhi salam is better than them and more knowledgeable than them. And this is what the order of the verses seem to show. After the angels said what they said, Allah challenged them, and then He told them, prostrate to Adam alayhi salam, and they all prostrated except for Iblis. Because now they understood that this being is better than us and more deserving of the Khilafah than us and more knowledgeable than us, and they prostrated to him. And interestingly, some of the ulama of al-Hadith, al-Muhaddithun wa Shurah al-Hadith, they connected the Hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to this incident of the sujood. So they said, just like the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam said that the angels will lower their wings, right? يَضَعُونَ أَجْنِحَتَهَمْ لِطَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ. They lower their wings to the student of knowledge. This is related to their prostration to Adam alayhi salam for realizing that he is more knowledgeable than them, and therefore they respect the seeker of knowledge, the student of knowledge, and they lower their wings for the students of knowledge, as the Prophet ﷺ told us in the authentic hadith. And this is their way now, and Allah's way of showing them that Adam is better than you and more deserving than you. Sujudu li Adama fasajadu. Now, and I will come to Iblis and his disobedience. We have to look at things also and relate it to some of the other verses in the Quran. Most of the Mufassirin, or a good number of the Mufassirin, explain the chronology of events as we see in the order that it came in the Quran. The issue about Khilafah, the creation of Adam alayhi salam, the challenge after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Adam alayhi salam, and after that, prostrate. And then they prostrated without question. Right? The first time they said, أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُسِلُ فِيهَا. Now it is clear to them, they prostrated to him. some of the Mufassirin, such as Imam al-Razi and Ibn Kathir and others, they said the actual chronology is different. They said the sujood of the angels to Adam alayhi salam happened before he taught him. And I see some bewildered faces. Imam al-Razi says Adam was masjoodul malaika before he gained that knowledge. That he was the one to whom the angels prostrated before he was given that knowledge by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because Allama Adam happened, clearly happened later, a little bit later, right? After he created him. Wa Allama Adam. But as we see in Surah Al-Hijr, Surah Sad and others, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the angels that he's going to create this being, and he told them to prostrate once he creates it. So he said to them, فَإِذَا سَوَّيْتُهُ وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ فَسَجَدَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ كُلُّهُمْ أَجْمَعُونَ. So the opinion of Imam al-Razi and Ibn Kathir and others is that as soon as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this being, breathed into him his spirit, the angels were told to prostrate. And then later on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Adam the names. Because of these two ayahs. It's possible, Allah A'lam, according to the opinion that no, this is the correct order as we see it in Surah Al-Baqarah, it's possible that those ayahs were just giving us the general picture. If I create him and breathe in him the spirit, then prostrate to him. But does that necessarily mean immediately after? According to some, yes. فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ فَا. And this fa means do it afterwards, immediately. It comes immediately afterwards. فَالتَعْقِيمُ. Okay? But there is this, it kind of goes back and forth between scholars. This may be how we can explain those verses. But that is in general. And the sujood came later after Adam was taught. Because these details we find in Surah Al-Baqarah, we find no other surah. Mention of the Khalifa and mention of teaching him all things. So it seems like that, those ayahs are giving us the details and the chronology should be based on that. And we see the wisdom behind it, if that is indeed the case, because they only prostrated after they recognized that he was better than them. And Allah told them to prostrate after he showed them he is better and he deserves to be prostrated too. If it was the opposite, do you see any benefit from it? Do you see any wisdom? If the angels prostrated to Adam as soon as he was created, and then later on Allah taught him the names and he challenged them on that, we will see from that the angels immediately obeyed and submitted. We would see from that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala delayed the response and the clarification. He said, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. I know what you do not. Prostrate to Adam. سَمَعْ وَطَعْ. They obeyed. They all prostrate. Though, they're still not sure why. Later on, Allah taught him the names and challenged them, and they understood why he is better. Teaches us as well. Sometimes we don't know the full wisdom. None of us is Shaykh al-Islam, right? And even Shaykh al-Islam, whoever it is, doesn't have all the answers necessarily. But we know Allah is the most wise. If we establish for a fact
that this is Allah's command, سَمْعًا وَطَعْهُ. We hear and we obey Allah. I might not know the full wisdom. I might not be able to explain it in the best way to someone else. But I know it came from you, so it must be the truth. I will hear and I will obey. This is very important. This is the way of the believers. When they hear something, they believe. What's the wisdom behind it? I'm not absolutely sure. But I know that it is correct. I know it is a fact. It's not a weak narration or a weak hadith or something that is up for interpretation. I know this is what it is. I'm not absolutely sure of the wisdom, but Allah commanded, we hear and obey. Fasajid. Tayyib. They prostrated to Adam alayhi salam. Is prostration allowed for anyone other than Allah? No. Right? Prostration is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, I'll give you a hint. In our Sharia, no sujood and no bowing for anyone other than Allah. This is not allowed, my dear brothers. So this type of bowing and stuff we cannot do. This is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even as a greeting or out of respect or something else, this is for Allah. So how do we explain the sujood of the angels to Adam?
Out of respect.
Out of respect, right? It's a salutation, essentially. Okay? This is why Ibn Abbas said it most succinctly. He said, As-sajda li Adam wa ta'a lillah. The sajda is for Adam, but the obedience is to Allah. So number one, regardless of what you think about the sujood, Allah told you do the sujood. Hadar ya Rabb. They prostrated. But furthermore, the Muslims are in consensus that this was not a sujood of worship. This is a sujood of respect, of salutation, of honoring. That's it. Nothing else. But yet, this is something very great. He said, Salaamu Alaikum to them. And they responded. This is, they could have just said salam. No, they did sujood. This is very clearly showing that Adam alayhi salam is the deserving of this khilaf. Yes, brother.
One more thing, like towards Adam alayhi salam. Nowadays we do towards Qibla, Makkah. So toward Adam alayhi salam.
Scholars said this is not a correct opinion. That Adam was a Qibla. They are doing sujood and Adam was the Qibla. The sujood was not to him. No, the sujood was to him. But it was out of respect. And this is something that was allowed in that Sharia, in that tradition. That time. And it was allowed also in the time of Yusuf alayhi salam, because his parents and his brothers prostrated to him. Again, this is not sujood ibadah. This is sujood of respect, salutation. That's it. This is allowed in that Sharia. It is not allowed in this Sharia. No sujood, no bowing to anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right then, that was allowed and that was permitted.
Like Salatul, the angel and Allah to Prophet Muhammad, is a dua, it's not salah.
Right. That's also a dua when we say, Allah wa malaikata usalluna ala nabi. But they did actual sujood. The malaika, the angels, did actual sujood to Adam. We know that this is not allowed in the Sharia because Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu tried it. The famous Sahabi,
He came and he did sujood to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Mu'adh ibn Jabal says, I went to Ash-Sham and I saw how they do sujood to their priests, you know, their Christian priests and scholars. And you are more worthy and deserving of such sujood. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not allow it. And he said, if I were to command someone to prostrate to another, I would command the wife to prostrate to her husband. Because of the enormous right that he has upon her. There are no sisters here, so we are safe. Listen here and now. You can tell them a sheikh, I don't know his name, said it. This is the hadith of the Prophet. We do not, we are just joking. We are not embarrassed of this. The Prophet is showing the enormous right the husband has upon his wife. He said, if I were to command, but I'm not going to. He did not. Right? If I were to, that's what he would have done. So he said this to Mu'adh ibn Jabal. وَإِذْ قُلْنَا الْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا. So they prostrated إِلَّا Iblis. Except Iblis. Iblis did not prostrate. He disobeyed. And to understand the gravity of this crime that Iblis committed, you have to consider now all of the angels of Allah prostrating. Some scholars said it was, you know, a certain number of angels. And they said that these are all angels. And the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are very, very many, as you well know. Sajada al-malaikatu kulluhum ajma'un. One confirmation after another, they all prostrated. Here is this devilish being who refused. Oh my God, what kind of audacity. It reminds me of the famous incident that happened in Surah Al-Najm when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَاسْجُدُوا لِلَّهِ وَاعْبُدُوا. Prostrate to Allah and worship. Everyone who heard it did sujood on earth. Everyone who heard those ayahs, Muslim, non-Muslim, everyone, ins, jinn, except one who had so much arrogance that he did not prostrate. But what did he do? He took some of the sand and he put it on his forehead. SubhanAllah. You see such a sight and you're the only one. You feel left out no matter what. Iblis, in front of Allah, with the most noble servants, angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all prostrating, and he refuses. Now it begins to make a little bit more sense. Because some may ask, Iblis disobeyed, but so have I. Iblis became a kafir, a disbeliever. But if a person commits a sin here, is that kufr? No. But that's a completely different situation. Right? For one, we have not seen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Iblis is a witness to everything that is happening here with Allah. Directly. And he gets the command from Allah directly. He refuses. Not only does he refuse, he's arrogant. Aba wastakbara wa kana min al-kafirin. In some of the other surahs, it mentions Aba or istakbara on its own. Here, all together. Aba wastakbara wa kana min al-kafirin. He turned away. Stakbara, he was arrogant. Wa kana min al-kafirin. Aba turned away, refused. This is something apparent. Istakbara, this is something deep inside one's heart, only Allah knows. He was arrogant, he did it out of arrogance. وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ, a combination of that which is apparent of deeds as well as that which is hidden and concealed in one's heart of disbelief and disobedience. So he refused, he did so out of arrogance. وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. The angels, though they were wondering why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would place on this earth someone who would spread corruption and shed blood, and they were worried and almost shocked that there will be a being that will disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because their whole life is obedience. But in the end, they prostrated. But the arrogance in the heart of Iblis, who saw himself as better than Adam, even after all that just happened here, which the angels immediately submitted to, but Iblis did not. He still sees himself as better than Adam. You created him from mud and clay, and you created me from fire. This is why, my dear brothers, arrogance is one of the worst sins. And as we see in this story, it seems to be the origin of all sins and bad deeds that can result. Arrogance of one's heart, to the extent that he would commit such a sin. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and he is of the kuffar. And Allah Azza wa Jalla knew that he is who he is, and he is going to do what he is going to do from before. وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. And what he did was 100% kufr. Because this is direct disobedience. Allah is telling him, do this, and he's saying no. Alhamdulillah that this is not the way it is for us. Otherwise, we would be toast. Things would be really different. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most forgiving and merciful. For those who come back, he had the chance to come back. The ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah don't mention it, but the ayahs, many other ayahs mention that he immediately challenged Allah. He disobeyed, and then he challenged Allah. And furthermore, he asked for some respite. Just give me a time, and I will show you what I will do. I will dissuade all of them, and I will misguide all of them. Because his goal is to take as many of us with him to the hellfire that we have with them. This is not a simple sin, my brothers, or disobedience that he did when he disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he refused to prostrate to Adam. This arrogance that he had in his heart is what led him and what is going to keep him in the fire forever. And this could be very dangerous also for you and me. Beware of this disease called arrogance. Humble yourself to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Humble yourself to those around you. Arrogance is very dangerous. The Prophet said in the authentic hadith that a person who has a mustard seed of arrogance in their heart will not enter paradise. Very dangerous. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cleanse our hearts, of all diseases, including arrogance. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us true humility, like the humility of the Prophet, especially Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to increase us in knowledge of his book, of his deen, and implementation of it. JazakAllahu khairan, Allah Ta'ala a'lam, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah.
Yes.
The
realm of the deen, that's the realm of the jinn is included in the definition of right in this ayah.
Yes, the realm of jinn technically is part of that ghaib, because it is part of the unseen, that which we cannot see. And this is why Allah Azza wa says, إِنَّهُ يَرَاكُمْ هُوَ وَقَبِيلُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تَرَوْنَهُ. He and his tribe and his people see you while you do not see them. Yes.
What about someone behind a wall? We do not see them.
That's a momentary ghaib for you at the moment. The moment you turn around, it's no longer ghaib, right? So that's not really a ghaib.
One more question.
Also the angels, technically, are part of the unseen. Part of that which we cannot see.
One more question.
Yes, sir.
Are you related to Sheikh Mustafa al-Mawwa?
I don't have that honor. yes, we carry the same name. He is originally from Egypt. I'm originally from Syria. But that, maybe later I'll tell you an interesting story of some confusion that happened because of that. Not with Sayyid, with his brother Muhammad.
Yeah,
because his brother Muhammad also, Muhammad Qutb, Allah bless him.
I have a question regarding this issue you mentioned, that when Iblis refused to prostrate, make sujood, and Allah Ta'ala says clearly...
Thank you for reminding me, I need to mention something else.
Can you please repeat it?
Yeah, I'll repeat. Go ahead.
It's about Iblis refusing to make sajda. Yes. And you mentioned that there is a difference when the human sin on the earth, as occurred in, when Iblis also, sinned.
Yes.
But his sin was kufr.
So much kufr.
Yeah. Exactly. So I was just... I just remembered something which I read from Ibn Taymiyyah, because he mentioned this ayah incident where he says that there is a sect in Islam who confuse this issue because they don't understand the kufr of the one who refuses to submit and the kufr of the one who commits a sin because of desire and so on, but he doesn't completely, refuses submission.
Exactly.
So that's
related, definitely. So essentially, that there is a sect, namely Al-Khawarij, okay, who equate any sin with kufr. So we have two extremes in Islam, and both extremes have wreaked havoc on this ummah and continue to do so, by the way. And they're both just as bad as each other. One is the Khawarij, who took the extreme that sins destroy. And there is no hope if you sin at all, if you commit any sin. Okay? So they equated sins with kufr. Okay? This is one extreme. Which means, and one of the ways that we say it in Arabic is لَا يَنْفَعُ مَعَ الْإِيمَانِ ذَنْبِ. Even if you have iman, if you sin, you're a goner, you're a kafir, and you will be in hellfire forever. This is the belief of the Khawarij. Very, very dangerous. Okay? It seems this is what Ibn Taymiyyah is talking about. He is
the other extreme.
The other extreme is the other one. Yeah. I'll get to that. But if you equate what Iblis did here, what Iblis did here is technically kufr, right? The other extreme, the other sect, okay, Al-Murji'ah, who said, لَا يَضُرُّ مَعَ الْإِيمَانِ ذَنْبِ. That as long as there is iman, sins do not harm at all. So they went to the other extreme. They only talk about the mercy of Allah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't worry, no matter what you do, Allah is forgiving and merciful, and everything will be okay. This is the other extreme. We see a lot of this today, by the way, especially the other extreme, right? And we see it in other religions as well, right? As long as you believe, you know, who cares what you do, you're going to be saved, right? So these two extremes existed in the Muslim Ummah. And here it seems Ibn Taymiyyah is trying to show that what Iblis has done here is very different than the sins that are being committed here on earth. Because if someone commits a sin, but they are still a submitter to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whereby they committed a sin out of weakness, right? They committed a sin out of weakness. Not that they are not submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this does not equate with kufr, as opposed to what Iblis did, where he's essentially refusing to submit completely, right? This is not just a normal sin. And this is very important, because, and this is a cause to pause for a second, especially when we are doing da'wah with others. And that is that it seems, wallahu a'lam, according to my experience, and I've heard it from others as well, a lot of Muslims continue to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and submit themselves to Him. And I'm not saying here now that their sins do not matter. But what I'm trying to say is that a lot of those Muslims do not refuse to submit. They know what they're doing is wrong. They admit it is wrong. They seek forgiveness for it. They are trying to avoid it. This is very different than someone who comes and starts insulting the religion, or Allah, or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? Very different. So you may find a sinning person lost in his sins, but he tells you, there's no religion other than Islam. I believe in the Quran, I believe in the Prophet, but I am weak, I'm a sinner, may Allah forgive me. Of course, maybe you should try harder. I don't know if you've seen it, I saw it and I couldn't believe my eyes.
The Mulhideen?
Just a second, brother. It's on YouTube, I can send it to you. A bartender is an owner of a bar. He's an Arab, he's a Muslim. What does he want to do? He wants to participate in the boycotting of the French because of what they're doing and how they're insulting the Prophet ﷺ. So he comes in the YouTube video and he says, this is the Prophet ﷺ. We don't play around with the name of the Prophet. This is how you're going to talk about him. I am going to get rid of all of the French alcohol in this bar. No joke.
It's a good story.
And you see him, I don't think it's a comedy. I think he's serious. He is very angry that they are saying what they're saying about the Prophet. And therefore he is getting rid of all alcohol of French origin from his bar. I'm trying to say, a lot of people now are similar to this person. You ask him, do you believe in Allah? Yes. Do you love the Prophet? Yes. Is the religion of Islam correct? Yes. If you ask him, is alcohol haram? He might say yes. Then why are you doing what you're doing, brother? He's weak. He's badly influenced. God knows. I don't know. I'm just giving you an example. But there are a lot of people like that. So this is the difference between someone who is sinning and someone who comes and says, no. Who said alcohol is haram? No. This is kufr. This is outright kufr. You are openly going against and disbelieving what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Quran, that is not subject to interpretation. You see the difference, brothers? I think this relates to what you said, brother. Yes, brother, what were you asking about?
The Mulhideen. Which part of
which
those?
Which Mulhideen?
Mulhideen. Yeah, which part of those brothers?
The atheists.
Yes.
The atheists don't even believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're on another level of stupidity. They're on another level of ludicrousness. A level that did not exist in the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. You didn't have atheists then.
Very few.
No, they didn't. They did not refuse that there was a God. That was insanity. Nobody was that insane. But what they did is, they refused to worship Him alone. So they were mushrikeen. No one said there is no Allah, and Allah did not create, and all of this came about by chance. That's ludicrous. This is a sign of the times. This is something that we see now. At their time, they were kuffar. The pagans of Mecca are kuffar, not because they're saying there is no God, but rather because they are associating partners with Allah, that's it. Because they want to worship the idols, associate partners with Him through the idols and stuff like that. This insanity that we see today, this is on another level. They don't even believe there is a God. There is no God, it all came about by chance. By the way, even though sometimes it's fairly innocent, but people say, oh, Mother Nature. Mother Nature did this, and Mother Nature did that. Who's Mother Nature? Is she another God? Apparently. It is Allah. From A to Z, from beginning to end, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Neither is it the laws. Some people make the laws God. The laws that Allah placed in the universe. Oh, if Allah decided, God forbid, to quote unquote step back and not do anything, oh, everything would just continue the way it is. Baloney. Oh, because of the laws of the universe, they'll continue. No, no, no. The laws of the universe do not act on their own and do not have any effect if it wasn't for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Proof? The Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah azza wa jal holds the heaven from falling on the earth. Right? If it wasn't for Allah, the heaven would fall on the earth. Chaos would ensue. These laws mean nothing if it wasn't for Allah. There wouldn't be life and death if it wasn't for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The bird that is flying, now you got me on another long sequence. The bird that is flying, Surah Al-Mulk. Amazing, subhanAllah. In the same ayah, Allah is telling you why that bird flies. Okay, so He said, إلى الطير فوقهم صافات ويقبض. He's talking about the birds and how they fly. For all practical purposes, He's giving you the mechanics of flight. Right? He's telling you how these birds fly. صافات, most of the time, their wings are open and sometimes they will flap. He's telling you the law. This is how they fly. And indeed, subhanAllah, this is you observe it. But then He says, لا يمسكهن إلا الله. No one holds them up, keeps them up except Allah. Ya Allah, You just told us the law of flight. Yes, but if it wasn't for Allah, these laws do not have an effect.
It's like the bee.
The
bee. The bee should not really fly because the wings are too small for the mass.
Okay.
The bee still flies.
SubhanAllah. It is in the hands of Allah. These laws are not God either. Those who said, yeah, it's like a Swiss watch. Allah created the universe like a Swiss watch, and then he left it and it's just running. No. يسألهم من في السماوات والأرض كل يوم هو في شأن. Every day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing something, decreeing death upon someone or life upon another. This universe would not be there if it wasn't for Allah. And that's why when the time comes and Allah Azza wa Jal lifts His control over it, what happens? Everything falls apart. Yawm al-Qiyamah. That's where you read all of the ayahs. Everything falling apart. إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انْفَطَرَتْ وَإِذَا الْكَوَاكِبُ انْتَثَرَتْ وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ فُجِّرَتْ. The other surah, إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ انْكَدَرَتْ. This is when Allah Azza wa Jal leaves it. You want Allah to leave it alone? That's when Allah will decree that all of this is going to be destroyed and everything. And then you will see what will happen if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wasn't in charge and in control. Allah Ma'am.
Yes?
You
said two qualities are needed for khalifa. So it was knowledge and accountability.
Choice.
Ask,
because there's no accountability unless there is knowledge and unless there is choice.
Right, so I was going to add to that. Is there not the need?
The
need to.
Need.
Sorry, I've got blocked those.
Oh, okay.
The need to actually seek for forgiveness, because the angels cannot do that, because they don't need to do that. Iblis cannot do that. He's shown that you cannot do that. We are the only creation who can actually seek forgiveness.
Seeking forgiveness is something you do seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we're talking about the very, degrees of freedom. Have you heard of that term, degrees of freedom? The least amount of conditions. Otherwise, you can say 1, 2, 3, 4, and so many. But in the very least, there has to be choice. Allah Azza wa Jal will not hold someone accountable that doesn't have choice, such as the angels, in that sense, okay? Because they can only obey. And the other thing is knowledge. Because if you don't have knowledge, as I demonstrated, وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَدِّمِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا. If someone does not know, then how will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hold them accountable? Right? So it's mainly those two things in the very least. Then what you do with that knowledge, that's something else. Then you choose. Allah gave you the choice. You either seek forgiveness or you don't. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but then Iblis,
these are like preconditions for accountability.
So Iblis also has choice.
Iblis has choice, he's of the jinn.
Right.
Yes, thank you. So illa Iblis. سَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسِ. Iblis is from the jinn. And the order to prostrate was to the angels. Which is why some scholars said Iblis was of the angels. You've read this opinion?
Yes.
You have. The correct opinion, وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ, is that Iblis is of the jinn. Very clear. No debate about it, as in Surah Al-Kahf. Illa Iblis kana min al-jinn. It's done. He is from the jinn. Why was he with the angels then? Ibn Kathir says, this is because his deeds were so good, they were similar to the deeds of the angels. He was with them, and he was told to prostrate along with them. He had the honor of being along with the angels, and he disobeyed. But he is of the jinn. There is no question about this. Wallahu a'lam. Yes.
There is a more clear answer in Surah Al-A'raf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered him, "Ma mana'aka la tasjuda idh amartu."
That's another one. Because he said, "I have been created from fire," and he has been created from clay. And angels have been created from light. That's another one. But the ones who argued, scholars who debated, they said not all the angels were created from light. You see? But this is another important proof. A third important proof, the angels cannot disobey. And Iblis disobeyed. So khalas, it's very clear. He is on the jinn. Yes. So that's why he had to prostrate as well, and he refused. Okay?
Can I answer your question, brother? You have to be, you have to have certain qualities.